do believe we can just about say amen and call it a day. Except that my God is a God of more. And there's always more. I tell you, I appreciate Hal and the entire praise team so much because they are so receptive, sensitive to this movement of the Spirit. And there's a misconception sometimes that we conjure up these things, emotions and all of this stuff that we can conjure up. And I've been in some places where that is the absolute truth. But here's the deal. We don't have to conjure up the Holy Spirit. We don't have to conjure up the excitement about healing. We don't have to conjure that stuff. All we have to do is stand on the promises of the Word of God. We don't have to make anything up. It's already there. The Maker of all things made it up. And it's true. All right, I got to talk to you about something that's very near and dear to my heart today. Something I'm quite, in the past I have been exceptionally passionate about, and it's fishing. Is there nobody else in the room that likes to go fishing? All right. We got men and women, boys and girls that like fishing. My dream would be to go to Alaska. Yeah? Getting one of those, not in the dead of winter, but getting one of those streams where the salmon are running or something like that. Get out there and just spend about a week just fishing. And my ultimate dream would be to get on one of those little bush planes and find me a really great, fantastic, reliable pilot. It's going to fly me out to this some little lake with a little cabin on it and there's nothing else for 100 miles. And land on the water and drop me off and come back and pick me up in a week. And leave me there with that little cabin and a little boat. And I can just get there and I can just spend a week just fishing and cooking and eating and just hanging out. That's my dream because I love fishing. God has called us to go fishing. Now, here's the deal. As much as I love to go fishing and as much as I would love to go to Alaska and go fishing, the truth is I don't really have to go that far to go fishing. Where we live, right here, there's a little lake right there in the subdivision. Now, there's not, record fish in there, but if I really want to go catch fish, I could probably catch something in there because I've seen it done before, and I know there. There are other places around here, if I get permission right across the road, there's some water. There's water over here. There's water there. There's water everywhere, and there's fish in it. I don't have to go far to go fishing. Sometimes we think that as fishers of men, we have to go to Africa to go fishing for men, or we have to go to Timbuktu, I'm somewhere far, far away, and that's not the truth. Sometimes it's right next door, and it's close. I want to read to you a story, and it's in Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. And normally what I do, I ask you to stand, I read the passage, and then I ask you to sit down and all that. But today I'm not going to do that because I'm not going to read the passage in its entirety. I'm going to go through it kind of verse or a group of verses at a time and kind of walk through this step, but Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, it says, "One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, which is also called the Sea of Galilee, and yes, I have stood on that shore, and it is amazing. As he was standing there, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, also known as Peter, and he asked him to put out a little farther, put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat." Now, this there were several different reasons for this, okay? And there's we've even had scientists talk about the acoustic advantage of preaching from the water and all that. And for one, it said they were crowding around him, did it not? They were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. So one of the best things he could do is to get away from the crowd so that everybody could see him and hear him better. He said, let me create some little bit of distance here just so that everybody can, you know, like a little amphitheater. Okay? So he's out there, and the sound travels much better over water and you know, all of that. I don't know if he actually thought through all of that or not, but he doesn't have to. He's God. I'll talk to you about the boat. A couple things about the boat. A boat is a place of intimacy. Now, I've spent a lot of times on boats. Fishing boats, rowboats. I spent 1 week on a cruise boat one time, but that's a completely different story. But when you're on a boat, even if it's just a houseboat, listen, a week with your whole family on a houseboat, there has to be some intimacy there, okay? You're confined. There's not a lot of extra space. You don't just get to say, hey, I'm going away for a while. Y'all don't bother me. When I'm thinking of a boat, I'm thinking of like a bass boat. You know, you're right there, and it's just, you're very intimate. You're close in proximity, and intimacy is involved. You got to know that when Jesus steps into your boat, intimacy is required. There's a closeness that is unavoidable if Jesus really gets into your boat. And he wants to get in your boat. He wants to get into your boat. The boat is also, in this story, it's a place of instruction. Jesus got in the boat with a message in mind, and he got in the boat and began to speak that message. It wasn't just the crowds that were hearing the message. The people in the boat were hearing it best. They were right there. Now, the boat can also be a place of irritation. It can be a place of tension. It can be a place of uncomfortableness. And I say that because what does it say back in the verse 2. Two boats. They're left by the boats were left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. Why would fishermen be washing their nets? When they drag them on the bottom of the ocean, the lake there, the sea, it gets mud, muck, vegetation, stuff like that. And they've been out there fishing, so they were cleaning their nets. So what were they about getting ready to do for the rest of that time? They were wrapping things up. They were done. They had been working, and we'll see that a little bit later. They had been out there doing all this. They were just tidying things up and getting ready to be done. So then Jesus comes and says, hey, let's get in the boat and go out again. They're like, are you kidding me? We just came from out there. Jesus sometimes messes with your schedule. Sometimes you've been fishing all morning, and Jesus comes in and says, hey, Allah, let's go fishing. It messes with your schedule. And you're like, I didn't plan for this, Lord. I've already done that today. And so it can be a point of irritation. You can get irritated, and you can go, well, what does he expect of me? Or whatever. You can get frustrated with it because it requires more work. But what Jesus is saying, leave some flexibility for me to work. Leave some room. My wife calls this the margin. She's working on a study talking about time management and all that and how you have to leave margin and leave the white space. And that's what Jesus was asking of these fishermen. He said, look, this is important. I know you've been doing stuff. But let's do it again. This time it'll be different. Don't be so hard set in our schedules that we don't allow time for God to work. He asked them to go back out again. Something they had already been doing, unsuccessfully, we'll see. And it can be a point of irritation. It could be a point of frustration for us. And then in Luke chapter 5, verse 4, it says this. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out to the deep water and let the nets down for a catch. See, he wasn't done. He commandeered the boat, went there and he preached from the boat. Then he was done. He sat down and said, now let's go fishing. Now let's go fishing. And I know that would get my interest. Why did Jesus choose the fishermen? As I was thinking about fishermen, there's a couple of things that I think about fishermen. Fishermen are purposeful. Fishermen, when I don't just go out to a place of and say, well, I wonder if I can find me a stick somewhere and start looking around for some string and maybe I'll find a hook. No, if I'm going fishing, I've got gear. Okay? And when I started fishing again here recently, I had to go buy new gear because all my old gear was rotten and rusted and destroyed. So when I go fishing, I go on purpose and I get my gear and I'm ready to go. Fishermen are purposeful. We need to be purposeful in our fishing. Fishermen are also patient. Now, how many of you enjoy fishing when the fish aren't biting? Okay, there's a few. Those are fishermen. If you only like fishing when the fish are biting, you're called a catcherman. Yeah, and we have some of those, and sometimes I'm in that mode too. But there's a difference. Okay, catchermen only want to fish when the fish are biting. My wife is a catcher woman. Okay, I can stay out there and fish all day and not catch a thing, and I'm okay with that sometimes. But they're patient, and they're also passionate. When you start talking to a fisherman about, hey, how was your fishing trip? Oh, man, let me tell you, it was this big. But they do this. You know, fishermen are known for growing the size of their, okay, for lying. Okay, they lie. But they're passionate. They love fishing. If you go and you talk to a real fisherman that does that like professionally or just really loves it, they can tell you about the different species of fish and how this fish, you can expect it to be this size, and some fish have a slot limit so you can't keep under this size, you can't keep over this size, and they know all those rules and regulations, and they know what lures to use, what colors, what techniques. They're passionate about what they do. Folks, we've got to be passionate. We've got to be patient, and we've got to be purposeful in our fishing. What are you talking about going fishing? I'm ready. I've got a tackle box in the truck, some of you might say. Verse 5 says, Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught a thing. It's like he said, are you kidding me? We've just been doing that and it hasn't worked. How many of you believe that we who are saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ need to tell that and need to go fishing for men? Okay? How many times have you heard, yeah, we've tried that, it just didn't work, so we might as well not do anything. Might as well just wash our nets and go home. Yeah, see, there's a difference there. We've worked all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. You see, there's an act of obedience there. Jesus said, we need to go fishing. They're like, really? Are you serious? We've been doing it all night. There's nothing, nothing's biting. But, doesn't matter what I think, I trust you enough to be obedient to you. And now it's on you. If I'll just do what you say, and we don't catch fish, it's on you. I will do what you say. I'll be obedient. He said, go out. He said, go into your neighborhoods. Go share the love of Christ. Jesus, he chose us. He said, I want to get in your boat. I want to go about. I want to go out and I want to teach a little bit. Does this sound familiar anywhere? Yeah? I'm coming into your boat. You're letting me in your boat. I'm coming into your boat. And now I'm going to teach you. Now that I'm taking a break from teaching, let's go catch some fish. when we come to Christ. Nolan, when you come to Christ, now he says, I need to teach you some things. You already understand a little bit about me. There's more. I don't want to teach you some more. Why don't I want to teach you? Because when we're done teaching, we're going fishing. We're going fishing. We're going to go out and we're going to catch some more people that need Jesus. Let's talk about that catch. In verse 6 and 7, it says this. And when they had done so, which means they had obeyed. Okay? When Peter said, because you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they had done so, when they let down the nets, they caught such a large number of fish, their nets began to break. Man, I would love to have that story. I can tell you stories. Man, I caught this fish. It was so big. Right before I could get into the boat, the line broke. You see, you tell that story to a real fisherman, they're going to say, well, that wasn't a catch then. Unless you put it in the boat, it's not a catch. Their nets began to break because they were so full. So they signaled to their partners. Now, here's an important thing. You see, they signaled to their partners. It's important to have partners when we're fishing. It's important to have partners. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. So they came and filled both boats so full that the boats began to sink. That's a lot of fish. It's a lot of fish. You see, Jesus says to us, if you'll be obedient and do what I say, basically he says this, if you'll fish, I'll catch. Because they had been fishing all morning without Jesus. So what's the difference between fishing all night and early morning and fishing now at this time? It's Jesus. Jesus makes the difference. He says, if you'll fish, I'll provide the catch. He requires obedience from us. That's what Peter did. He said, nonetheless, I will do what you ask. Actually, Jesus didn't ask. He commanded. We're going to talk about that because he didn't really give us the... It wasn't a suggestion. He didn't say, hey, I got a good idea. What do you think about this? He says, go out to the deep water and put the nets down for a catch. And obedience brought forth one heck of a catch. You see, it's not an option. If we go all the way back to Matthew 28:19, a very familiar verse says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He said, go. Go make disciples. Go out to the deep water and let down your nets. And what I love about Jesus, there are many things I love about Jesus. One of the things I love about Jesus is that he was such a great example. I mean, he lived it. He showed it. He demonstrated. But he didn't stop there. He also used his words. A lot of times when we're talking with dealing with little kids, you know, they'll just go, and, you know, mom and dad will teach them, you got to use your words. Use your words. Tell me what you want. Use your words are important. You can convey so much more with words than you can just with actions alone. Jesus used actions as an example, and he also used his words. We need to do the same. He wants us to use our words to share him with others. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this phrase down. There is no catch without a cast. I can sit out in that boat all morning long with my fishing pole in my lap and the lure wrapped around the end of the line, the end of the fishing pole. How many fish you think I'm going to catch? If I don't cast that lure out into the water, I mean, the fish aren't just going to jump in my boat unless I'm down on that river in South America somewhere, you know, where they go and the fish just jump in the boat. I've never seen that in real life, so I don't know if that really even exists, but I've never seen it. I've never experienced it. Anytime I've caught fish, I've had to go and get the fish. I've had to either use a cast net or a seine net or a rod and reel or a trot line. I've caught lots of different kind of fish in lots of different ways. but I've always had to be purposeful and go get it. There is no catch without the cast. We'll jump back to Luke chapter 5 again, look at verses 10 and 11. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees. We talk about the fish, all these fish, two boats full of fish. He fell on his knees and says, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." You see, Peter realized he was in the presence of the Lord. And he said, "I am not worthy. I cannot. It hurts me to be in your presence because I know what I am and I know what you are. Oh, and I know there's a great difference." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid." Anytime, or a lot of times we read about angels showing up in Scripture, how do they address whoever they're coming to? "Do not be afraid. Fear not." Today, I think they do something like, "Chill out, bro. Don't have a cow." I don't know. But they have to say, "Wait a minute. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for men." Your version may say people. In Greek, the word anthropos really is a generic word for humankind, really. So it says, "You will fish. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. Can you believe that? These guys, this was their livelihood. This is what they did day in, day out. This is how they made their living. This is what they were passionate about. This is what they knew. They were skilled fishermen. And even skilled fishermen sometimes get skunked. Okay? I've been there, done that. But if you'll be faithful, if you'll be obedient, Jesus said, "From now on, we're going to go catching men and women and boys and girls and old men and old women and every kind of person we're going to go catch. But we're not going to use a boat. We're not going to use a net." And they said, "Okay." They pulled their boats up on the shore, left their nets, put everything down, and said, "All right, let's go." That's obedience. A couple things I want to take from that. He said, "Don't be afraid." We need to not be afraid to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And a lot of times people get all worked up because they think, "Well, I don't know all the scriptures by memory, and I don't have it all down in my head yet, and I'm going to mess it up." Can I just tell you something? If Jesus has touched your life and changed your life, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible is important. I mean, that's universal. But nobody has your story. Nobody has your story. That's what the Bible is. It's Mark's story. It's Luke's story. It's John's story of their encounter with Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid to share the gospel and regularly invite people to church. You can say, it's okay to say this if you're just not real confident. You can say, "Look, Jesus really changed my life. And it's just, beforehand I was kind of wandering and I did all this. And afterwards, this is how Jesus changed my life. And if you want to hear more, you need to come. Follow me to church. Because he's ugly to look at and he's hard to listen to, but he loves Jesus. And just listen to him. He'll tell you some stuff." It's okay to do that. Regularly invite people to church. This word in the Greek, when it talks about the catch, he said, "Let your nets down for a catch." And the catch was so big that it started to break the nets. The catch, that word is in the Greek, is called zogrio. zogrio. And what that means is this: to take alive. Not to kill, but to take alive. And I love that illustration, to take alive. It's like the difference in war when between shooting and killing soldiers on each side, and when somebody surrenders and we take them alive as prisoners of war, and we keep them alive because there's value. Okay, maybe it's to trade back later to get some of our own back or whatever, or maybe it's because we respect the fact that it's a human life and we want to preserve that. But to take alive, and it really triggered something in my head, because when I go fishing, when I go out here to this little body of water out here and I catch a fish and I hook it in the mouth with that lure attached to that chartreuse worm on my 8-pound test and my Zebco 33 fishing pole, and I bring that fish into the boat, I know what's going to end up with that fish. I know where that fish is ending up. It's going to flop around for a little while, and if you're an animal rights activist, I feel for you. Just don't go fishing with me, because that fish is eventually going to end up in my belly. Get in my belly. I love fried fish. Matter of fact, fried fish is on the menu this week at the Nick's household. It's a fish that I caught back in the fall. Am I right? Okay. My wife vouches for me. I know that fish, it'll be alive for a little while. It's eventually going to die right there in my boat. It's either going to die in the boat, or it's going to die under my knife, but it's going to be turned into meat for me to eat. Okay. When we catch fish, we take fish from life to death. When we catch men, when we fish for men, we take them from death to life. It's a completely different outcome. You fish, I'll provide the catch, Jesus says. In John 6, verse 44, the first part of this verse says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." Here's the deal. Jesus said, "You fish, I'll catch." He takes the responsibility of the fruit of the harvest. He says, "If you'll just be obedient and just go through this action of doing the fishing, I'll provide the catch." Matter of fact, you can't even catch them on your own anyway. You were fishing all night and all morning without me. Did you catch anything? Remember Peter? But with me in your boat, I'll provide the catch. So you're not responsible for the catch. All you have to do is be obedient and go fishing. How many of you like that one? Be obedient. Maybe where you go, "I'm going fishing again. I'm just trying to be obedient. Got to go to Walmart, get some more lures." If you'll be obedient to go fishing, God will provide the catch. And if the catch is not provided, you've been obedient, that's not on you. Jesus says, "If you'll fish, I'll provide the catch." When we organize the church service and Hal and the praise team, and they practice and go through songs, and we get the order of the worship, the song set, and I work and study on my sermon and get it ready, and we've got the sound and technical guys getting everything ready and the lights set and all that. We do this for a lot of reasons. We have these services for people who have been believers for a long time. Yeah. If you're in the room and you've been a believer for a long time, just let me see your hand. Praise God. Praise God for you. You're important. We're also thinking about those people who are brand new believers. And we're also thinking about those people who are hell-bound without Jesus. And I believe that any good church should have some of each. Should have some of each. If we're just a bunch of all saved, holy, sanctified folks meeting in a building, we're not functioning as the church God designed. We've got to go fishing. When we do that, we'll bring some people in, and we'll have people like Nolan, who have just confessed their sins to Jesus and received Him as their Lord and Savior, and they're brand new believers. That's exciting. And it's important to have those because they have a lot of excitement. Some of us have been Christians for a long time. It's kind of getting like old hat sometimes. And it's because we're not renewing. We're not staying focused. There's a lot of different reasons for that. That's a revival type sermon. Okay? But we're talking about those new believers. They bring that energy. They bring that excitement. They're fired up. They've just discovered fishing. We need to have them in the church too. But we need to also go out and get those that are lost. And we need to bring them in so they can hear the Word of God, so that the Lord will use that knowledge and that words that they're hearing. Remember, words are important. They have to hear those words, and then the Lord begins to convict them. That's not mine and your job. We don't convict. We don't convince. We don't entice. That's the Spirit's job. We just go catch them, bring them here, and allow God to do what only God can do. So I believe that a healthy church ought to have some old-time saved folks, ought to have some brand-new Christians, and ought to have some folks who aren't saved yet, but they're at least coming, and they're going to get saved. If we don't, then we're not being the church that God's called us to be. It's time for us to go out. It's time for us to go deep and put down the nets. It's time to go fishing. It's time to go fishing. I'm going to close with two questions. Actually, before I do that, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ is so easy. It's so easy. All you have to do is say, look, the Bible says, and see, you're off the hook there. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody except Jesus, everybody who's ever walked this earth has sinned at some point. Sin is just simply doing something that God doesn't approve of. Everybody has. And the wages of that sin is death. Because I've broken God's laws and His commands and His wishes and His desires, that means my future is death. But the gift of life, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. He says, but let me bring you from death back to life. And everyone who confesses the name of Jesus Christ is saved. Just like with Nolan in the water this morning. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Romans 10:9-10. That's the gospel. It doesn't stop there. That's just when Jesus gets in the boat. Then He says, now I'm going to teach you. And when you've been taught, then we're going to go fishing. And you're going to be obedient and do the fishing, and I'm going to do the catching. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you to follow me. To follow me. Two questions. When was the last time you led someone to Christ? When was the last time you personally led someone to Christ? The other question, when was the last time you tried? When was the last time you even threw the bait out? Lord, help us. Help us. If we've got to go and get new tackle, Father, help us to get back into the Word, find the right lures, sharpen up the hooks, do whatever we've got to do, Father, to get ourselves ready to go fishing. And then help us to be obedient to You and get out there and cast the lures, cast the nets. Father, to be faithful and obedient to You and allow You to do what only You can do. Father, You've commanded us to go. It's a command. And so if we go, we're being obedient. And if we don't, we're being disobedient to You. Father, there's no gray area there. Father, help us to be obedient to You. Help us to do even as You say. But because You say so, I will. Father, help us to be that. Father, this church has been placed here in this community for a reason. Father, call us to be the church you've called us to be obedient to your commands, to go out. And Father, help us to remember it's more than just living it. We've also got to speak it. Remind us, Father, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You're in our boat. Father, this morning as we're here today, I can't help but believe that there may be someone in this room who's never made a public profession of their faith in you, who's never truly received you as their Lord of as the Lord of their life, has never truly said, Lord, I want Jesus, I want you to be my boss. I want you to be in charge now. You say it and I'll do it. There may be somebody here who's never done that, Father. And I pray that today would be their day. Father, there may be others who are here and said, you know what? I've been in the boat a long time. I've been working hard, and I'm just not having much luck at it. Oh, Father, when you say, let's go back out to the deep water one more time. Oh, Lord, help us to say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Sí, Señor. Just because you say so, I will. And Father, I thank you for those in this room, in this church, who have been faithful to faithfully cast out that net, to cast out that lure. And Father, there may not be a fish on the end of the line every single time, but they keep going. They're passionate. They're purposeful. They keep going. They keep doing it. Father, thank you for those. Continue to encourage them, Father. Empower those who have been tired. And show the light to those who are lost. Father, we ask you to do what only you can do now, and that's to speak to the heart in Jesus' name.